Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and you've had a good week and a good Easter and all of that. I'm absolutely fed up with the weather, as I'm sure everybody is in the UK. Oh, for God's sake, just want some sunshine, don't we? I'm going to be bringing you the most fantastic guest today. I've had her on the show many times before, and I'm hoping she's going to bring a bit of sunshine from Spain. Going to be chatting to Susan from Hola Sober. How I love chatting to Susan. Before I do that, I just want to share with you a little bit about stuff we have coming up, because we've got a gig next Wednesday, and I think there are still some tickets left. So if you can get to London, it would be just brilliant if you could join us. We're going to be at Club Soda. You do have to get a ticket in advance. So if you go to thesoberclub.com/events, you'll find the link there, or you can look at the show notes for this podcast as well. And we're going to have a lovely time, just a catch up and a chat. And I'm going to be interviewing Michael Sargood from Happy Without the Hooch, who is very funny. And we're going to have a really nice opportunity to just meet up. Just the connection piece is everything, right? And then just a reminder as well, in case you're thinking ahead, please do check out the events we've got on the 20th and 21st of April. So Saturday 20th in Hertfordshire, we're going to be doing a kind of a empowering day of how you can ditch the limiting beliefs, focus on what you want. We're going to create a vision board, which is a really magical way of focusing on stuff that you want in your life, really. It's a great opportunity to spend some time actually making sure you've got your priorities right. And the tickets for that include a short one-to-one coaching as well. So that's going to be a nice day. Really tiny number of people. That's in Hertfordshire. And then the following day, it's Family Constellations. And again, very small group of people. Check it out. It's not the easiest to describe, but I've got a couple of posts on the Sober Club that I do my best to describe what Family Constellations is and just how amazingly beneficial it can be. And on one of our Sober Club meetups recently, somebody asked a really good question. And she said, you know, if your early days of sobriety, and you know you've got stuff in your past, you know there's trauma there, whether that's trauma with a big T or trauma with a little T, is coming to something like this just going to, you know, stir everything up and pick at old wounds, as it were? And it is a really good question. Because I always say to people, if you're in the early days of sobriety, that's not the time to be going back over old stuff, trying to make amends if there's any to be made, trying to, you know, go and ask for forgiveness or whatever it is. I mean, those things may need to happen in time, you know, we'll see. but your early weeks of recovery are not the time. That is your time to focus on you and your self-care and your well-being. But the answer is that it's absolutely the perfect time to come to Constellations, because in Family Constellations, although we do look at trauma with a big T, with a little T, and everything else, although there are some traumatic, if you like, topics covered sometimes, the whole focus is on moving forward. And it's actually a really healing kind of space, a really healing environment. It really is. And in fact, it's all even been called a spa day for the soul. So people usually leave feeling so uplifted. It's absolutely not about sort of kind of uncovering old wounds and then leaving you feeling a little bit fragile. Not at all. So do check it out. It'd be lovely to see a few more podcast listeners at Family Constellations. So there's two events are in Hertfordshire. Let me know if you're interested in coming to both. I'm sure we can do a discount for you. It'd be fantastic to see you. And then we also have a retreat, self-care and sobriety, at Shampleys in Hertfordshire at the, 18th and 19th of May. That's in at the Shampleys in Tring in Hertfordshire. So it'd be amazing if you wanted to come to that one as well. What else do I have to tell you about? Let me see. Well, obviously, if you're interested in joining us in the Sober Club, come on down. Now is a fantastic time. We are literally starting our juice shot challenge this weekend. If you're brand new to juicing, come and have a go. If you've been juicing for ages and you just fancy getting a little bit of inspiration and doing a challenge alongside other people, then come and join us. Just a reminder that if anybody, if you're kind of new to juicing, I'm not talking now about a detox or replacement meals. I'm literally talking about adding in freshly squeezed juice, which is just a fantastic addition to whatever other good nutrition you've got going on, and just a great way of getting lots and lots of vegetables and good stuff straight to the cells. Because however much veg you have, let's face it, we don't, most of us don't eat copious amounts of fresh ginger and turmeric and lemon and beetroot and kale and all the other things that we can pack into a juice, right? So it's always a good thing. And I think I mentioned last week when I interviewed the happy pair, if you make if your early days are ditching the booze and you get the odd craving or the odd pang, like, oh, middle of the afternoon, wouldn't it be nice? Well, no, it wouldn't actually. Have a nice big green juice instead. No way will you fancy alcohol after that. So it's a very good tip for if your early days. So if you do come and join us, we've got absolutely all the information there, the shopping list for you, the recommendation for juicers. If you don't already have one, you can pick one up really cheaply. All the recipes, all the tips. And it'd be lovely to have you as part of our group. So get in quick and you can join us for that challenge. It's usually quite fun. We've done it before in the Sober Club. And the Sober Club is packed with stuff. I mean, there's just no good reason not to join us really, because we've just got so much amazing stuff in our member portal. So that's all the kind of housekeeping bits. And I know you just want to hear Susan. Susan, how fantastic to see you.
And Janie, I am so happy to be with you again.
Yeah, amazing. Just amazing. It's actually ages since we had a proper chat. So it's really nice to catch up again. And what I really wanted to get your views and your kind of well, we'll explain what you do in a moment, but I thought it would be really nice to kind of share our experiences of fab. But by that, it's not fab at all. It's fading effect bias, right? And I've written about this quite a bit, and I've also spoken about it a little bit on the podcast as well. This whole idea of how we look back with rose-colored spectacles, So I thought, as we're both sort of seasoned and we've been sober for a long time, and of course we both work with communities of of people who are going through the same thing, I thought it'd be nice just to share a few bits and bobs. But anyway, before we do that, just remind anyone who isn't sure who you are, just share your wonderfulness with us first.
Okay, well, for those that don't know who I am the founder of Ola Sober, which is this fabulous magazine and community, which is sparkly and fresh and dynamic and positive and empowering for women across the globe. And I felt that there was a need for that perspective. We're not in sackcloth and ashes, and so that's what I do. And I work with the community just like you do. And I think that what you've brought up here today is so important, right? So the fading effect bias, which sounds like a really fancy phrase, doesn't it? But the reality is, it's the distance from the glass and the ability we have in our psyche to romance what we were truly like at the end of our drinking career, when we made choices to actually stop drinking and become alcohol free. Because time, they say, is a great healer, but what it also does is it removes some of the darkness, and we forget how freaking bad we were
Yeah, we
when
really do.
we for help or we found the magazine.
Well, it's this phenomenon, isn't it, that we look back favorably on very negative things that were really negative, and yet somehow we've managed to process them and forget the negative stuff. Now, of course, that can sometimes be beneficial for us. We don't want to be walking around with the agony of childbirth, when the kid's 25. Or even a few months after, actually. We want to be able to selectively remember certain things. But in this instance, it's really dangerous, particularly as the whole of our culture, wants to support the idea that, oh, Oh, it's glamorous and fabulous.
Well, you see, you and I are waging a war in many ways, because what we're trying to do is turn back a tide in an alcocentric world. So therefore, so 5+ years sitting in front of you here now, yet at every turn from 5 o'clock this evening until midnight, there will be alcohol at every turn wherever I go, down the street, if I go for a meal, if I go even to cinema, you know, everywhere I go, I'm faced with a choice. Do I continue not to drink, or do I have just one? The famous line of I'll have just one. We all know, and my personal experience is there is no such thing as one. In 2016, I went off it a bit like Jesus Christ for 40 days and 40 nights. And 40 nights, I actually convinced myself that I was grand because I had successfully given it up for 40 days and 40 nights. And I felt that now I knew myself better. And really, I wanted to, you know, moderate in a way which was looking for the third door, because I wasn't yet willing to accept that I needed to give up alcohol. And so I had one foot in and one foot out. And in 40 days and 40 nights, I actually convinced myself that I couldn't watch a sunset without a glass of wine in my hand. I couldn't go out for a nice romantic meal without a glass of wine in my hand. That I couldn't actually deal with a difficult day without a glass of wine in my hand. And in those 40 days and 40 nights, the truth was diluted. So my reality as a drinker daily in my kitchen was diluted. And that's what happens with FAB, that we dilute our truth, right? So we then, because we live in an alcocentric world, and because 9 times out of 10, we're the only ones in our bunch of friends, or possibly our family, alcohol free, therefore everyone around us, partners, husbands, children, aunts, cousins, are all tipping away because they don't have our cane. It's very easy to just say after 40 days and 40 nights, I'm actually fine.
Yeah.
I realize now I just need to drink slower. Put a glass of wine and water in the mix. And I, in other words, what I was saying was, I need to drink better.
Yeah, exactly.
I started to buy more expensive wine.
Yeah.
Thinking I'll have less of it.
I went through that phase, yeah. Oh, it's biodynamic. Oh, it's organic. Still poison, but, you know, biodynamic poison. And the other thing, and the other trick I tried for a while was buying those little tiny, like, individual bottles, or you know, like really tiny little bottles. I don't think, well, you know, that's portion control. But then I'd buy three of them.
I went through the whole thing of my wine glass back in the day, with all due respect to it, was a fishbowl, quite frankly, with banana in it. So I then went through, after that 40 days and 40 nights in 2016, I then bought smaller glasses, which only meant I drank quicker. Do you understand? It didn't mean I diminished my portion control, because I didn't. I still finished the bottle, but I was just doing it in a different vessel. What concerns me about women all of the time in every community, irrespective of what community they're in, is that if they disconnect from that community, that's when the fading bias can become more prevalent. And if they don't stay connected to their community, they talk themselves into just having one. I have a really good friend, two in particular. And one, Linda, is just an amazing woman. She's written about it in the magazine. She had 18 years.
Wow.
She had 18 years. She stopped going to her sober group, sober club, as it were. She stopped talking to sober connections. She felt, I've got this, I'm good. And she decided to manage her drink better and go back drinking. She lost 4 years of her life.
Wow.
And then she came back, and now she's absolutely rocking it over the last few years. But when she talks about that, I just have one, it gives me chills.
Yeah.
Because part of the problem is, we're working so hard to tell everybody that we haven't changed. And we're working so hard to fit in while we're not drinking that we actually sometimes give up on ourselves, decide just to have one. Whereas part of not drinking, being alcohol free, is finding that piece of us inside that feels that we're worth living.
Totally. Yeah. Right?
So I got sober. I got alcohol free for a better, healthier life. I stay sober, alcohol free, because that's exactly what I got. And in 2016, when I fell, I lost 3 years.
Right.
It was 3 years before I actually put it down. And I really believed in 2016 I could manage this sodding thing. I actually believed I could actually just have one or have two. Listen, I can't even have one tea bag in a cup, Janie. I need two tea bags. So am I going to be able to moderate anything?
Yeah,
No,
it's
I'm
so
not.
true. But you know the interesting part of this, and that's you're absolutely right. The interesting piece of that is this when people say, I thought that I was going to be able to have one. I thought that I was going to be able to drink, in inverted commas, normally is the phrase people use. That whole sentence needs reframing and flipping on its head, because why would you want one glass of toxic liquid or half a glass of toxic liquid if we flip it and call it heroin, right? Because it is the number one most harmful drug, and
Absolutely.
that gives you a shock. Because if you say, well, shall I just have a small amount of heroin, everybody listening to this podcast, I know for sure, will go, well, don't be bloody ridiculous. I'm like, excuse me, no, that's not who I am. Well, why would you want alcohol? Just because everyone else is doing it, just because it's legal, just because and because and because, doesn't make it right, because it's so toxic and so crap. And even one glass is incredibly bad for you. Now, that's really hard hitting to say that, and I'll probably lose a bunch of listeners, but that's the truth of it, isn't it? That is the truth of it. So the whole concept of, oh, I wish I could drink normally. I wish I could just have one and be okay. Why?
Absolutely.
Why? That's the missing message, isn't it? That we need so much more amplification of this message that nobody but nobody should desire any amount of hideous toxic liquid. And I mean, if you'd have said that to me 6.5 years ago, I'd have just laughed in your face. The whole idea that I might not desire a drink. I might have desired to have a drink and not feel hungover. That would have been nice, or so I thought. But I now realize that, this is what we're up against all the time. This is why when you tell people you're not drinking, it's, oh, poor you. Oh, can't you just have one?
Absolutely. And everything you've said there, I mean, I feel like saying hallelujah, because it is absolutely truth. And sometimes the world out there finds it hard to listen to the hard truths, but alcohol and heroin and cocaine, to me, are equally as not just addictive, but dangerous. And just because, for example, marijuana is legal in Germany since last Tuesday, does that mean that marijuana is good, right? So just because people drink alcohol all around us, like you rightly say, it doesn't make it good. Without question, it's a complex poison. Without question, it leads us to ill health, multiple cancers, multiple liver conditions, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, right? All of these things are intrinsically involved in the drinking journey, but nobody is saying it. And nobody is saying it because they don't want to hear it, and because it's all about profit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the alcohol industry, the governments are not going to say this kind of thing, are they? Because they've got too much to lose.
No, in taxes and everything else, they will fall down a hole. And the truth is that the drinks industry is a multi-billion dollar industry peddling a legalized drug. And that's a fact. That's not dressing it up. That's not trying to be controversial. That's actually just factual. And so therefore, when I hear women like you say, well, listen, I thought I could have one, I react in the same way, because for me, sobriety has given me an upgrade in my life. It has given me everything and more. Okay, everything and more. It has brought to me the magic of, relationships being better, my family dynamic being better. I look better than I ever did. There isn't a cream on the market that I could buy for any amount of
No,
euros
absolutely.
that would
Best
actually.
anti-aging hack ever.
That's absolutely it, right? So again, this is another sort of, if you like, byproduct of sober life that people again almost deny happens. It doesn't happen instantly, as you and I know, but in time, our skin begins to breathe in a whole new way. Mine was probably sweating red wine for, I don't know, a decade and a half. So when I hear the just one, recently, another one of my gorgeous friends, 25 years of her life, she
Oh,
lived
my goodness.
fabulously and powerfully and gorgeously. And again, during the pandemic, she thought that she could just have one because she was a bit lonely at home at the time. They were moving house and, all of that kind of stuff. And her husband and her were in two locations while they were selling one place and, getting into the next place. So she decided after 25 years that she could have one.
So
And she.
again, just to interrupt you, just for 1 second there, just before you move on, isn't it interesting that even after that amount of time, there was still that belief, that deeply rooted belief that a glass of wine would do something for her, would give her something. Isn't that
Absolutely.
interesting? So it's those pieces, isn't it, that are really fascinating. It's not whether or not you can have one or should have one. It's the belief that will be good, that will help you relax, that will help you feel confident, or whatever the hell it is. It's a lie. The
All of
emperor is not actually wearing any clothes.
that's it. And here's the thing, a lot of that is because people think, and I don't agree with this, but they believe that it's a disease. And
Oh yeah, and I don't agree with that either.
she was from the school of thinking that had got sober, believing it was a disease, and that she was under its spell. Okay. Where I come from, the body of thinking that as I was addicted to an addictive substance, if I don't imbibe the addictive substance,
Exactly.
rocking.
Absolutely.
Absolutely rocking. And after 25 years, she picked up a glass. And, she came last year and my heart broke for her because her life, was just, as we all know, it can become, it was blind chaos in her head. And it took her 4.5 years to come back from that. Imagine, five years. But now what's marvelous to see and what's gorgeous, and I love her to bits, her whole thinking has changed, right? So her whole thinking now is she knows it's a toxic poison. She knows that it's an addictive drug. She no longer wants it. Desires it because she knows it's poisonous, dangerous, and will destroy her life. So that's not the disease thinking. So because I come from the street of the science-based thinking, it's a drug. I misuse the drug to zone out, self-medicate, drink every night in my kitchen. It became a habit, and then I needed more to satisfy the habit. And then when I stopped imbibing this toxic poison, the addiction beast was put to rest within me. So I understand that I don't need a sunset and wine. I know that I will enjoy the sunset in my sobriety because my sobriety is my golden ticket to all things in life. I sparkle more, everything I enjoy more. And I genuinely believe back in the day when we go to airports, like a long time ago, you go up to the desk and you say, any chance for an upgrade? And I think that's what sobriety is. It's the greatest life upgrade that we can ever get. And if we base our learning, because as women, we should live in a life that is continuous learning and growth. And if we live in our learning in science-based thinking, like science-based, not some fella over there in the corner, but science, actual scientific fact. And if we take all of those facts, and we call it ethanol as opposed to gin
Yeah,
or rum.
exactly.
There's a paradigm shift in the head because you're not going to put frickin' petrol in a glass on a Friday night to have a good time, are you?
Well, someone, when we get to the point where we can recognize that we are, we can have a bit of self-acceptance, a bit of self-love, whatever phrase you want to use, we are no longer going to want to self-harm. So we have to see it as the self-harming it really is.
That's
And
what it is.
this is where it all gets so confused, isn't it? Because the way alcohol is portrayed is so goddamn glamorous. Your Mother's Day cards, your just everything around alcohol is portrayed as glamorous. So, as you said, the sunset with a glass of wine, that it's all of it is BS. It's
Is
actually
BS.
self-harming when you take toxic liquid. And
Absolutely.
when you respect yourself, when you like yourself, you wouldn't You would not self-harm. You would not go near heroin. You would not go near something that you know is incredibly bad for you, because you're worth more than that, because you've got some self-respect, because you care about yourself. So it's just a no-brainer. But the way everything plays mind tricks with us, doesn't it? And as I said before, the emperor is not actually wearing any clothes, and the majority of people can't see that. They still believe that alcohol is the answer and is a relaxant and will cheer you up. Absolute nonsense. It's literally a depressant.
It is, and it causes anxiety and everything else. And I think part of the problem is, not only are we waging a war on this massive advertising marketing campaign that, if you like, deconstructs everything to being drink gin, you become sophisticated, drink this gin, and, you know, these botanicals will change your sex life, and you'd be this and that and the other. And it's all really clever, clever marketing of, at the end of the day, what is the drug? And I think that part of the issue and part of the, if you like, game changing we've got to participate and be part of is that there is a real fear around the language of addiction. There's real fear. I personally was really afraid. I hate the word sober. I now use the word sober, but I hated it. 5+ years ago, I hated the word.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but I couldn't find another one, really.
That's it. I am powerfully sober. I also didn't, you know, I surrendered into my power in sobriety. Mm. I didn't fall on my knees. I surrendered into my frickin' power because I decided on the 6th of January 2019 to stop committing the greatest act of self-harm that there is.
Exactly.
You know, it might as well be a giant blade for the damage it does to the woman in question.
Yeah.
But again, it's a bit like childbirth, which you mentioned at the top.
Yeah.
I remember when my first son was born, it was horrific. And I said to my mother, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
Right? So alcohol is the same. It's this perpetual lie among women, a lot of the time, aiming for perfection and superficial, what the world thinks of them. And they do not tell the truth as to their what they're consuming every night in the kitchen. So then it becomes a secret, and then it's a dirty secret.
Yeah.
And then that's shame and self-loathing. And what I would love women to understand is, first of all, a craving lasts 9 seconds, scientifically proven. That's not it, right?
Yeah.
We can all do 9 seconds in the honor of feck. You know, if you're on day one and you have a craving, we can all do 9 seconds.
Yeah.
Then there is all of these tools that when you join a community, you begin to learn. You know, we can move through the moment. You know, in early sobriety, there's nothing quite like a piece of chocolate. You know, we need something sweet. When that sort of craving comes in, it's 9 seconds, move through the moment, eat some chocolate, get fresh air, change your perspective.
Yeah. Or a freshly squeezed juice, if you want an even healthier version. Because no one can drink alcohol after green juice.
Absolutely. And people, I was into actually fresh orange juice because I actually don't like the aftertaste of drinking fresh orange juice. So I used to do that, but I also used to put sweet things in. I became a sort of a cheesecake addict, if you know what I mean. So I was willing, after 2016 and the road crash of losing another 3 years, to actually take it day by day, which again is frightening because the entire vocabulary from the traditional approach has frightened so many of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, smoke-filled dens and all of that. You know, we all kind of went, oh no, I'm not like that. In a bid to not be like that, we weren't willing to necessarily accept that I did need to take it a day at a time. And in early sobriety, it could have been an hour at a time, right?
Yeah.
And the point is that just one doesn't exist. Because if you and I have just one, it reawakens the beast that has truly been sleeping.
Yeah.
The addiction beast is, I believe, is still inside, which is why every single morning, you know, I love my routines and rituals and like my candles and calling on my ancestors, say, abide with me. You know, I need you today. That's me acknowledging I wasn't perfect and I had a problem, right? It's not me living in fear. That's me living in power.
Yeah.
I live in sobriety in empowerment.
Mm.
So I think that the message has to be, alcohol is ethanol toxic poison. Stop buying into the bullshit.
Exactly.
Stop believing the advertising campaigns.
Mm.
You can live differently.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
And
it.
life is so much better without the booze. This is that's the mantra, isn't it? That's mine. Can I just ask you about something else? Because what sometimes people say to me is they'll say, I don't know how it happened. They'll say, suddenly, it's always like a kind of a suddenly. Yeah, I just found myself drinking. No, do you know what? Nobody ever trips over a glass of wine in the street. There's always a lead up. And usually, if I'm working with a client and ask them to really go back and go over everything, they'll usually look back and go, actually, yeah, now I think about it, I stopped eating properly. I was rushing about, hadn't eaten properly, or I had that really a nightmare call with my ex who always winds me up or whatever. There's always something that they knew was coming, by the way. And they didn't do the prep. They didn't do the work. And in the early stages, you have to do the work, you know. And then I would say to them, did you even think about, kind of popping on the sober club and sharing a message? Or and then one woman actually said to me, no, I didn't, because secretly I didn't want to share it because I knew that really I just wanted to drink.
That's it.
So isn't that interesting? She was aware enough to know that she was sabotaging herself, and she was aware enough to know that if she'd have posted a message saying, I've got real cravings or whatever, that other people would have, in a completely non-judgmental way,
That's right.
have said to her, oh, sweetheart, don't do that. It's crazy. That way madness lies, and this way, come and go and have a bath with essential oils or whatever. But
Absolutely.
when you've got the devil on your shoulder, when you've got the wine witch in your ear, as you say, if you're not connected, if you've not got that level of accountability, it's just you and that voice in the head.
It's you against you, and you will lose that battle. And that is the absolute truth. And I know I bang on all the time about routine and ritual and connection and community, but I do believe they're the foundation stone. They're my sober capital. They're your sober capital. And if we look at it like a bank, if we are sober capital, you and I are multi-zillionaires in terms of our sober capital because of
Totally.
what we do every day, right? And we do it on autopilot, right? So you don't just find yourself, as you so rightly say, sitting in front of a glass of wine. We don't just fall into the feckin' thing. It's been happening for a very long time. Micro
Yeah.
decisions that you
The
make.
little thoughts will have been dripping, won't they?
Yeah, 4 weeks ago when you should have been at the sober club on a Friday night and you decided not to go, they are often when it begins. It begins, and so I've had a hard day, I can't be arsed. The one thing in life that you and I can't do is half-ass our sobriety.
No, absolutely.
Half-ass making a birthday cake, but we cannot half-ass being sober warriors. So they didn't fall into the glass 4 weeks ago, and they didn't turn up for your workshop or your sober club. That's when it began. Because why? It was traffic on the M40. They got tired, whatever the hell. Who knows? I had an argument with my husband. My son didn't make his bed. These small, small things. And the truth of the matter is, that is a woman or a man who hasn't accepted their truth in
Yeah,
reality. So
yeah.
they're still kicking the ball down the field, right? They're still kicking it down. Well, I'm not really like everybody else in the sober club. I actually, I'm not going to go. The reason they didn't execute their SOS plan of reaching out to you or reaching out to you, they knew you talked them out of it. So they don't want to be talked out of it. Because, as you rightly say, she's decided she wants to have a glass of wine. So what women and men need to realize when they do that is what they're actually saying is, yes, I am not worthy.
Yeah.
Yes, I deserve in life.
Yes, I am going to self-harm.
I'm going
That's
to
my choice.
screw up.
You got to
Screw
own it,
up.
haven't you?
Absolutely. Screw up my life. I've given up on myself, my marriage, my children. And it's like I've said before, when they come to you and they come to me and they say, but I love my children. Well, don't we all? But getting drunk in the kitchen on Friday night is not an expression of love. It's an expression of sabotage on your own life that becomes the thing that destroys your relationships with your children. It's just so clear to me. For the last 10 days I have one living at home, Sam, and the other two live away. And one is in college and one is working and living in Paris. And it's been Easter break and I've had two of my children home. And it's been positively fabulous, right? It's just been gorgeous. They're lovely young men. Okay, their rooms are a bomb site, but they're actually really nice young men. And Do you think that I would have those relationships if I wasn't in community, connected, doing my routines and rituals?
No,
And
absolutely.
if my kids are
Absolutely.
old enough now to
Yeah.
say, get
Yeah.
lost.
And on that note, I'm really glad you raised that because I've got a client at the moment whose kids are quite young. And I actually, I said to her, that's my biggest regret that I didn't do this sooner when my kids were young, because it is the best gift you can ever give to be fully present for your kids. And but then the next question that sometimes comes along from people is, well, how will I forgive myself? How can I undo the damage then that I did? Because we can't go back, sadly. Now, I don't know what you would say. My answer to that is you can't go back, but you know something, by you being completely open and present and admitting for them to be able to see where you are now, that is an incredibly amazing, valuable lesson, if you like. That's a valuable experience because kids are not daft. They know that people are not perfect, but if they can see a mum or a dad who have actually changed, literally changed, how powerful is that? That's the best role modeling you can do.
And for me, I couldn't agree more. I mean, my youngest was 15 when I gave it up, and I had bridges to build, and I did, and I had the tough conversations, and I laid my heart on the table. But again, my friend Linda says that my recovery was their recovery.
Exactly.
That 100%. And if I was talking to that young mum, I would have said exactly the same. I would have said we can't go back, and I think we own it. I think we own that piece of us when that happened. But without question, a present parent is the greatest gift ever. And that
Absolutely.
young mom, I know young moms as well, and I always say to them, you're doing the toughest job in the world in the most glorious way. And like you, my regret is that my Sam was 15 and Noah was 17 and Max was 26, nearly 27. But like you, my boys relish that I had the courage to say, which I did the night before I went into sober school, I have a problem and I'm not able to fix this. And I've tried and I need to get help to fix it and I need your support. And then when I did that, and they watched me grow and they watched me become at peace and content in my life and comfortable in my own skin. And rejoicing in the simplicity of, oh my God, come out and see the lemon tree has now got lemons. They are most proud of my sobriety above all other things in my life. It doesn't matter what I achieved in work, it doesn't matter what I achieved as a wife. No, my sobriety to them has been the greatest lesson in life. It's okay to say, I need help. And it's okay to ask for help. And it's okay to admit struggle and challenge. And it's okay to say, I'm not perfect. I don't, I'm after making decisions and choices I wish I hadn't, but I'm now trying. I'm really trying. I'm committing. I'm here every day. And my relationships with these young men are powerful.
Yeah,
They're absolutely
absolutely.
powerful.
It's also okay to for them to see you actually like yourself.
Yes.
That's a really massive one,
Yes.
because yes, you've made mistakes. Yes, you weren't perfect, but now you're someone who's comfortable in their own skin, and
Yes.
that's massive.
That's a
And
big lesson.
I
That's a
don't think it's possible to really properly, truly love yourself, if you want to use the woo-woo phrase, call it whatever you like, when you're drinking. I don't think it's possible. I find that very difficult to square.
Yes, you see,
I
if you're
tried for so many years, I was queen of meditation, queen of
Yes.
spirituality, but not
Or
really. Not really.
yes. You see, here's the point, because of that sort of, if you like, vocabulary and narrative that exists out in the world, we buy the organic food and we do all of that. We didn't love ourselves at all. We know
No.
that. You and I know that. And anybody listening out there with a drink in their hand,
Yeah.
that's not an expression of love. Sobriety is the greatest expression of self-love that there is
Yeah.
on the
Yeah.
planet. And as a mom and as a dad, we want to show our kids that it's okay And it's a nice, good, positive thing to like yourself and
Yeah,
love yourself.
totally.
I love when my boys put in boundaries. The other day, my son was going back to where he is in college in San Sebastian in the north of Spain. And I thought he was taking the lunchtime train, but he was going on the early one. And I said, "Why are you going the early one?" He said, "Because I've got a meeting thing at 4:30." And I said, "About what?" And he said, "I'm not going to share it with you until I know exactly what's going on." And I loved that because he basically told his mother to feck off, that it was none of her business until he was ready to tell me what the meeting was about, because he's in the final year and all of that. So when they put in boundaries, that's their expression of self.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
him saying, "I'm not ready to talk about this sort of, if you like, interview process or whatever that he's in. I'm not ready to share that yet, Mom, but when I am, I will."
Yeah.
So for me, that is a mother who found sobriety. My recovery is their recovery. And that is a 23-year-old saying, "Back off," in the most respectful way. I wish I'd done that at
No,
23.
absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, I've told you lots of times about the family constellations work, you know, that I do, and I talk about it quite a bit on the podcast, even though it's difficult to describe. But when I the very first time I ever went to constellations as a representative, not, you know, long before I trained, I one of the first constellations I saw I was a part of was quite traumatic, and you know, there was stuff went down, and I remember thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this day has been so incredibly powerful, but all the things that I've witnessed here, all the things that I've seen, so many of which have played out in my own life or my own, you know, background, my own ancestry or whatever, and it's all being brought here, and yet I've got four kids. How badly have I fucked them up? That's kind of and I said to the practitioner, oh my God, how badly have I fucked my kids up? And she just said, well, it's that's not the how it is. You're here, and the more work you do, the less they have to do.
Absolutely.
And that really is true. And nothing has to actually happen. They don't have to do anything, but something in you, when the energy changes, that shifts it for them. And you know, what better reason than to become all of who you really are, you know?
You're a living testimony to your children, and so am I, right?
Yeah.
We're a living testimony. So therefore, if we look at our lives and the imprint and impact we have on our children, or for those who don't have children, nieces and nephews, and our drinking career can cause small traumas, can cause all kinds of things for our children and our
Yeah.
nieces and nephews. And my nieces and nephews and my children saw me walk out while jarred on the roof of a terrace of the new house
Yeah.
for me to check that it was okay. Like mad stuff, mad
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And I afterwards realized how worried they all were when I was walking out, counting the tiles, saying, "Tile 6 is safe, tile 7 is safe." I mean, madness. But the truth is, when our energy shifts and we step into our full female power, or a man steps into that good place in a man and his full manly power, we shifted in our children, but also we are the living embodiment, I would hope, of people who get up every day and try and do their best. And if that's what we're teaching our children, to use all of their talent, to be big, to be bold, to be courageous, to be unafraid, to be exactly who they are, without being the type of people that need external validation or a glass of vodka to get through their day, that's the most powerful lesson we can ever give our children.
Yeah.
We can also teach our children in sobriety. And I find this one equally as powerful, is that the other day my son said to me, "What would you like to do?" Because he had one more day. "What would you like to do together?" And I said to him, "I'd love to sit here in the back step," because the sun was shining. The dogs were, it sounds like Walton's Feckin' Mountain.
I hope you were shelling peas.
Yes, exactly. The dogs were running around killing each other. No, but the dogs were running around. And I said, "No, I'd just like to sit here in the back step. We can have a chat and a cup of tea." And afterwards he said to me, he said, "That was amazing, Mum. I thought you'd want to like go somewhere today." And I went, "No, I just wanted to be with you and like have tea and cookies on the back step." And I think that you know, we search, don't we? And we look for things outward. And that's why we sometimes drank for external validation or more and more and more. And yet sobriety has taught you and me the most powerful things in life are the simplest. Constellations has shown you the ancestry guides that are with us and ahead of us. And that your guide that day, that practitioner said to you, no. You know, don't think like that. Of course, we've all fucked up our children. I think that's what all parents were put on earth to do. So therefore, we've all done stuff, but our living testimony is powerfully indicting the fact that we, every single day in sobriety, we just want to be better. We just want to be better, you know? And we deal with women who need to hear from us that there's another way of living. And that we can't promise you anything in life, but we can promise you if you don't drink, it'll be better.
Definitely.
Life gets lifey and all of this stuff. But the truth is, it does get better, unbelievably better, and has given you and I the chance in many ways to live out our dreams, right? I never thought that I'd have a magazine. Why the feck would I have a magazine? I remember the first time when you said to me, were you like an editor or something? I was like,
I know. I can't. I said to you, you must have been a big time magazine editor or a designer. And you're like, no, I just fancied a magazine.
that is true. Do you
You did
remember?
it so, but I can't believe it. It's such a fun. If you haven't seen it, by the way, listeners, do check out Holy Sober. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And
It's an act
God, I
of
can't
love.
believe you hadn't already
No,
been
I can't.
working in that field. That's just incredible.
But it's an act of love, and we're saying that alcohol and toxic ethanol poison is an act of self-sabotage and self-harm. Holy Sober is an act of love, that sobriety has given me the energy, the power, the creativity to create, to make somebody's day brighter and to make somebody not feel othered. That we're thousands of women, Janie, we're thousands and thousands, millions of women all over the world who have our thing. And just because we have our thing and we're not buying into the desensitization of a legal drug, because you know that world is desensitized to the fact that alcohol kills you,
Absolutely.
right? They're desensitized to it. And just because we are aware and we've learned enough to know this stuff does kill you, every woman and man listening, I would wage with them that every part of my life, in terms of productivity and relationships and energy and sleep and skin and self-care and self-love and comfortable in my skin, is a thousand times better in sobriety. And the one that I would say in closing, that is one that really and truly is often underestimated. But I was brought up in a Christian household, a Catholic household, right? And I was educated by nuns. And, you know, I think every Irish person has a decent amount of, you know, Catholic guilt. It's an awful thing altogether. It's an awful thing. And sobriety has given me a clear conscience, right?
And isn't
I
that
no
amazing?
longer struggle with the misaligned Susan, but I don't really know what she did last night. So I have a clear conscience. I know I sat on the step with my son. I know where I was last night. I'm here with, and even yesterday, you know, you engage in conversations with people, and we're reliable. We can turn up. I turn
It's
up
about
here.
that authenticity, isn't it? That not needing to be on the back foot. I remember I was always on the back foot because I was never quite sure what I had or hadn't said or done. So I was always on the back foot. And when you can actually be authentic, that doesn't mean you're perfect, but
No.
you're authentically you.
We're real, right? In other words, we have our faults and our failings, right? Of course we do. Everybody does. But at least mine now are not down to the fact that I was scuttered last night and I can't remember what I said to you. And you
Absolutely.
know, that's you know, if you like hard language, scuttered. But you know, the truth of the matter is, if we say it's ethanol, well then we can also say that I was drunk for a very long time. And I don't like that word either, but I was. And I had a full-time job. I traveled the world with my job. I did all the things, you know, the ABCs and all of that. But the reality was, I was drunk and jarred in the kitchen pretty much every night of the kitchen, every night of the week with a bottle. So now you and I have this upgrade, and we have this life that is not perfect, but it is far better than my life was when I was drinking. And I can sit on the back step with my son and have a cup of tea, and he's 23 years of age, and have a conversation. And he said to me, actually, because we were talking about my sober journey. He said to me, "Do you think I'd be home if you were drinking?" And I went, "No." And he said, "I have choice, Mum. I'm 23. I have my apartment in Sansay. I didn't have to come home for Easter. I chose to come home. I chose to be here." And like, what better gift is there that you're
Yeah, no,
23
absolutely.
out doing whatever with his mate says, "I come home, Mum. I come home for 10 days." Like, that's like
Yeah.
fabulous. Like, that's just epic stuff. And so that's what I feel to anybody listening. No matter how scared you are, no matter how frightened you are, no matter how ashamed you feel of what you did or said last night, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Sobriety gives you the wonderful power to own yourself.
Totally. So let's just conclude with a few tips for people who are early stages, or they're a few weeks in and they've had a couple of those thoughts like, oh, or they've got something coming up. You sometimes hear people say, well, the daughter's wedding's coming up in a few weeks, and I've just got the I just just these little thoughts. So what would you say are the kind of the top tips? I mean, connection is key, right? Staying connected is key.
We both agreed that's number one. So
Yeah.
that's a given, right? The other one that I did in early sobriety was that I wrote down my why, and I wrote
Yeah.
down how bad I felt, and I wrote it in handwriting, folded it up, and put it in my wallet.
Yeah.
And that for me was very important, because if I journal something out of my head, it actually takes it out of my head. And by reading it back, I'm actually making decisions as I'm reading back, right? So I see how bad it is. So I wrote down my why. The other thing is that a craving genuinely does last only a matter of seconds,
Yeah,
right?
and a craving is just a thought. It's
That's
important
it.
to remember that.
Only a passing thought,
Yeah.
right? If we engage with it, we give it more magnitude.
Exactly.
Passing thought.
What you focus on, you get more of, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing is, I used to ring ahead.
Yeah,
So I
absolutely.
find out the alcohol-free options were. So I'd be ringing
Yeah.
Spanish restaurants going, "Sorry,
Yeah.
what
And then
is
have
your
a go at them if all they've got is Coca-Cola and
absolutely."
lemonade.
I
Yeah,
did,
right.
because I didn't want to stand there with a glass of sparkling water. No,
No.
thank you very much. I don't have, leprosy or something like that. I'm part of life. So I would. That was another one that really worked well in my favor, because if they didn't have something, I'd say, "Is there any way you could get in alcohol-free beer for the wedding?" And 9 times out of 10, they did.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I found really helpful for me was listening to a podcast, reading an article in the magazine. There wasn't a magazine, henceforth we have one, but now you
Yeah.
can read
Yeah.
something in the magazine. The other one that I found, I move through the moment. I'm a woman who needs to move. I move through the moment. I move through the craving. I need to leave the room I'm in. I need to walk outside. I need
Yeah,
to
do something different.
go
Yeah.
around myself. I've
Yeah.
even, about 4 weeks sober, I was out. I actually took my shoes off, put my feet on the ground, because I needed to literally ground with Mother Earth,
Yeah,
right?
totally.
And I did those kind of crazy, batshit crazy things, but they worked for me. And I
No,
think,
I often recommend that you one of my the recommendations I give to Sober Club members, and we've got this fantastic piece in our member portal, is to actually, if you're feeling anxious, stressed, you've got cravings coming in, just if you can take 3 minutes, go and lock yourself in your bedroom, put track of music on that you love, and just shake it all out. It's just sometimes if you just drop into the body, it just takes it. And after that, all that those thought, it's not always about the thoughts. Just let the body
agree.
take it, you know.
You know that I told a woman 2 weeks ago to, when she left the meeting, to go put on Taylor Swift and shake
Yeah,
it out,
exactly.
because she needed to physically
Yeah,
remove that
yeah,
energy from
yeah,
her head and her body.
yeah.
And I think that I do believe in sweet things. I do believe in having, we call them chuches in Spain. You know those hot jellies that are addictive? Like,
Yeah.
I'd have those in my pocket, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, and then the other one was, if we are going to the first wedding or the first this or whatever, I had an SOS plan,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I had someone to message
Yeah.
from a
Yeah.
toilet, they say, when
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
really about to lose my mind. I knew I had somebody to message and put out an SOS and say, "I'm struggling. I'm
Yeah.
really struggling. Can you take a phone call?" And you know what? Talking to a sober connection for 2 minutes removes the moment. Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what they would be my top tips. They would
Yeah.
be my, this is how I think you can get through that moment in early sobriety. And, I would always go to those moments in early sobriety with a clear plan in my head, and I knew what was on the menu.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, I love it. Well, I could talk to you forever, Susan, obviously, but we better finish. But the latest mag, just tell us what's in the latest mag, apart from my lovely article, of course. Thank you for
Your
that.
course of article is in there, and I want another one for next month. But there is, I'll tell you, there's an amazing article, of course, in there, Wild Child by Jennifer Bridgman, who to me is one of the most gorgeous writers. She's a mom, one of the,
Yeah.
she's in the community writer in sobriety. There is an amazing article that has had a huge amount of feedback, and it's Clarity, written by Beth, and it's about her recent ADHD diagnosis.
Ah, interesting.
And that has really got an awful lot of traction because a lot of women in their 50s are finding
Yeah, they are.
different stuff. And she
Yeah.
now, it explains in the article, she now understands her drinking career a hell of a lot better
Right.
post this diagnosis.
Interesting.
And
Yeah.
we have fashion beauty,
Of
obviously.
course you do. I love the cover. Oh, it's just gorgeous.
Yes.
Absolutely love it.
And I love this month in the sense that it's bright and it's cheery and it's filled with spring and gorgeous fashion, gorgeous
Yeah.
beauty.
Love
And
it.
some beautiful stories and village voices. So as always, it is, you know, a powerful piece of reading that will inspire you and motivate you, but will also, you know, we're not crazy disease people. So it's like any other magazine, Marie Claire or Vogue or any of them, you know, there's all those fabulous things at the front of the magazine as well, beauty and makeup and top tips and all of
Yeah,
that.
cool. Brilliant. I love it, Susan. Thank you so much. It's been great to chat to you. We'll do it again soon.
Exactly, and
And
you
I'll put
too.
all the info in the show notes.
I will.
Cheers. Check out the latest mag then. And can't wait till I get to see Susan again. She's just such great fun. Don't forget our events. You know where to find them all. thesoberclub.com/events. Join us if you can at the Sober Club. And if you just want to support this work, but you don't want to join the Sober Club, that's absolutely fine. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/genuinelygrace and pop a little donation there. Or we have a give back fund as well, but you'd have to message me for the link to that because I can't remember what it is here off the top of my head. And just a quick mention as well, just in case there's anyone listening to this who has ditched the booze and is now thinking, you know, I want a new challenge. I want to support other people. I want to do something great for friends and family, or I want to add something to my skills, or I want to start a completely new career, and really think about giving back. Then don't forget that I have my holistic sober coach training program, and we have a course coming up. That one is full, but then the next one is in October. So if you decide to join us now, you can bag yourself an early bird rate and be connected across the months. So it'd be great to have a chat with you. It's by invitation only, as it were. So you can't just kind of click something and pay. We need to make sure it's right for you. And I'm a really big believer that the right people show up for these things. You know, if the energy is good, it needs to feel really, really exactly right for you to do this. So if that's you and you're thinking, oh my goodness, that might be me, then it probably feels exciting but a bit scary, and that's fine. So drop me a message. You know where to find me. I'm very easy to find on social media, so do follow me if you haven't already at Genuinely Grace. And if everything I've been saying, you know, about events, about joining the Sober Club, all of that stuff, if none of it feels possible for you, if you just think, you know, I don't want to do any of that, I don't want to join a group, I don't want to connect with anybody, I'm just not, then but if you still want to stop drinking, then just reach out anyway. Reach out to me privately. I'll answer as many messages as I possibly can. But tell someone, if your early days of doing this, honestly, it's the key. You have to tell someone. I mean, there's a bunch of other things that'd be helpful as well to support you in those early weeks, but make a start by telling someone who will hold that vision for you, not necessarily your partner or your mum or your best friend, because they might not have been there, done it, got the t-shirt. Come and tell me or someone else that you know has literally taken that path, so that you've got somebody to just hold you a little bit accountable. Just voice it. Otherwise, it's just you in your head, isn't it? Right? It's just you and the wine witch, and you know, the wine witch will always win that one. So drop me a message. You can find me on social media. Have yourself a fantastic week, and hopefully I'll see some of you on Wednesday the 10th at our event in London. See you then. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club.
please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.